our Savior hung between two thieves. Hear the soldiers mock his name. See his followers as they cry in disbelief. This could not be the reason why he came. Life is through. Feel the love burn from his eyes. Behold the temple veil as it was rent in two. Hear the one on Calvary as he cries. Paid in full, I've done the work I came to do. Just remember that the debt for your sin is paid in full. See his children torn between two ways. Some still choose to mock his name. See his followers now as they can boldly we are the reason why he came. See the ones who trust themselves alone to do what only Christ can do. Through Jesus' blood alone, we can approach the Father's throne and hear the words that he still calls to you.
Dr. Hawking has asked me to read the opening scripture, so Revelation 21, please. Revelation chapter 21, if we can all find that and follow along, please. We're going to be reading from Revelation 21 and then Revelation 22. And for sake of time, I will begin reading. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the new tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And let's go to Revelation chapter 22, probably just about a page over. We're going to start in verse number 3. And the Bible says in verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb of God shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
I don't know who chose these songs tonight, But one of those songs was Over the Hilltop, I Have a Mansion. And that is what we're talking about tonight. If I would ask the question, where will believers spend eternity? What would you say? I'll repeat that. If I ask the question, where will believers spend eternity? What would you answer? Heaven? No, you're wrong. Anybody else? You just read it. The Bible says we're going to spend eternity in New Jerusalem, on the earth. It doesn't say in heaven. A number of years ago, about 30 to be exact, I was working with a pastor called Noel Gaiwaka in the city of Bangui. We hadn't moved to Cameroon as yet, but we were in Bangui not only to direct the mission, but also to win people to Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why we were there. We had started an evangelistic program for the entire area where we worked. Believe it or not, we had over 500 churches. Amen. Because of that evangelistic program. Amen. Then they sent me to Bangui, and I met Pastor Noel Gaiwaka. I really feel that Noel Gaiwaka was a man of God who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and everywhere he went, he told people about Jesus Christ. He said to me, "Would you like to go with me?" Of course, we're going to walk. He did not have a car. He did not have a bicycle. He did not have a motorcycle. And he did not even have a Vespa like I had. That's an Italian motor scooter. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to go. And so for the next 2 or 3 months, we went day after day after day, Monday through Friday, telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. The church that was built by Al Balzer, who is now with the Lord, was a large church, the largest one in the city of Bangui. About 1,500 people. They had church services in the morning. 3,000 people were there. It was exciting to see what God was doing as we went slowly but surely from house to house, telling people about Jesus Christ. Then later, we moved to Cameroon, started a ministry there where there were no churches. I learned firsthand what it is to start a work when there is no work there. But it was exciting because through persecution, God opened the door to start a church just a little ways from Fomacop. We thank God for what he did, because the man that came 33 kilometers by foot to call me to his village to preach a message on Jesus Christ and a message on the cross, that man was the first one that came to know Jesus Christ in that area. Believe it or not, his son came to know Christ and is now the president of our seminary. God has done a wonderful work there. Yes. But we hadn't got all of our stuff from Central African Republic to the Cameroon. So we got in our pickup now. By the way, 52% of all the vehicles in Cameroon are Toyotas. But at any rate, we drove all the way to Yaluki, where my son was a missionary, and God was blessing his ministry as well. He said, "Dad, I know you want to go to Bangui, but can't go today. How about tomorrow?" "Okay, that's fine." So we started out, 225 kilometers, most of it on a dirt road, to get to Bangui. When you arrive in Bangui, before you get there, there's a 12-kilometer attestation where you have to prove that you are in the country with your passport, with all the visas you have to have. So we stopped at 12 kilometers and went through that process. One of the men there saw me and knew me. He came up to me and he said, "Dr. Hocking, Noel Gaiwaka died last night." I turned to my son and I said, "Jim, let's go right straight to Castor." That's where the church was. The area was called Castor. We went there. Domali Joseph immediately took over the pastorate. He was one of my students. And he said to me, "You know, God sent you here." I said, "Well, I was planning to come here." And he said, "But no, God has sent you here because last night, Pastor Gaiwaka, your close friend, went to be with the Lord." And so they asked me to preach a message that would encourage believers and also challenge non-believers to accept Christ. Now, the last time I preached this message, it was in French. I decided not to preach in French tonight. If it slips in, please forgive me. But we'll try to stay in English. He said, "Prepare well, because the president of the country is coming and every member of his staff will be there." In fact, there were 10,000 people who came. Unbelievable. We have 10 churches in Bangui. And all of those churches came. The people came. Why? Because here was a man who for his entire life was a godly man, serving Jesus Christ and seeing literally thousands come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And I had the privilege of learning from him. And that is what I did. And so they came the next day. Yes, the president came. All the members of his staff and his cabinet came. They were all there. And they heard a message. And you know, when I asked that question, where will believers spend eternity? Almost everyone said, "Heaven." Like you did tonight. But that isn't what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says. It was read in your hearing, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 to 5. I believe with all my heart that when the Holy Spirit of God speaks through his word, it is truth. 100% truth. And we need to realize it, that it isn't a fable, it isn't a myth, it's God's word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God has spoken through his word to us for us to learn and then to apply to our hearts. And so we did it. Now, we did have some loudspeaking equipment then. We don't usually have that in the churches in Africa, but we did have it then. And in God's grace, we saw many people come to know Jesus Christ that day. Before they left to go back to their church or to go back to their village, wherever they were, they came and they accepted Christ. And we saw growth in one day. God did it. In writing my memoirs, I'm talking about an average Christian. Why? Because God can use an average Christian just as he can use someone who is very intelligent. It just so happens that I have a brother who is 9.5 years younger than I am, practically two different families, who has written 30 books, who graduated from every school he went to, summa cum laude. He would take an examination in Hebrew, a horrible exam, and almost everybody would groan about the examination in Hebrew. My brother never groaned. In 30 minutes he left. He ended up with a straight A. God, in his mercy and his grace, has given to my brother a very brilliant mind. And he's written a number of books that touch people's hearts today. Amen. And we thank God for those who are coming to know Christ because of those books. But you see, I didn't have that kind of a brain. I was just an average Christian. I went to Bob Jones University. From there, I went to Grace Seminary. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry tried to get me to stay here in the States and not go to Africa. Even the man that put me up in Lansing, Michigan to start a church, which is going today, he said, Don, you ought to stay here and don't go to Africa. We have 60 missionaries in the Central African Republic. Don't go there, stay here. I said, you know, the Lord hasn't spoken to me that way. He called me into his service back when I was 9 years old. Some of you may have heard of the Eureka Jubilee Singers. Eight black singers. And boy, could they sing. They were beautiful. But as we invited them to our house to eat, the pianist, who also was a good singer, began telling us of all the problems they were having in the South. Yes, South Carolina, but also North Carolina, Georgia, everywhere. They would go to a hotel, and the hotel refused them because they were black. I listened to that. I was just about 9, 10 years old. And she ended her statement with the following: I wish I were not black. According to my mother, because I don't remember it, I got up, walked over, took her hand, and said, if God wanted you to be black, should you say that? She began to cry. She never said that again. And they went from church to church, singing and telling people about the wonderful grace of Jesus. Amen. It was at that point in my life that I said, God wants me in Africa. Well, a lot of people said, you know, that's You're so young, Wayne. You may change your view. I have never changed it. Then we got to France. And we went to the city of Lyon, there to learn French. We were supposed to spend 12 months there. We actually spent 18 because the doctor made a mistake and gave a yellow fever shot to our baby that was just born. It was only 1 month old, and he got yellow fever. They all said he's going to die. And again, we get this letter from the States saying, you see, this is God showing you that you should stay in France and shouldn't go to Africa. Somehow I didn't see it that way. And so I invited two pastors to come. And according to God's word, we had an anointing service in the hospital with the permission of the doctor and the nurses. And I was holding my wife's hand as we were praying. And all of a sudden, the breathing of David changed. And I said to my wife, he's going to live. God is going to heal him. And God did. God gave us 52 years of David, who became a pastor of children. We thank God for what he did. But that didn't stop us. We went on. And we went to Bangui, and then to Bozoum, and then to Mbaiki. One of the few missionaries that's ever had the president of the country come to his house unannounced and knocked on the door. Possible? No, it's possible. When God works, there's miracles that can happen. Don't ever deny it. Don't ever say God can't do it, because God can do it. And God can do what he wants to do and when he wants to do it with Pastor Joseph Esposito. Amen. I was just with him a week ago or so. We enjoyed the time together. But I believe with all my heart that nothing is impossible with God. That he can do what he wants to do and when he wants to do it and how he wants to do it. That is the way he works. But when we came to this passage, I realized that my first answer was heaven, and it was not the right answer. As I looked at the scripture, the first thing I noticed, and I did have 4 points to the message tonight, where will the believer spend eternity? The answer is in the New Jerusalem on the earth. Notice what the text says. The New Jerusalem came down to the earth. And Jesus Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to run the show. And believe me, it's going to be miraculous. Continually, God is going to work in a marvelous way according to his word. This is our authority. We have no other authority except this. This is what tells us exactly what happened and why. And what is going to happen and why. It's all there for us to read. And so we began to study it and to realize that, boy, God is going to do some marvelous things. There is going to be a New Jerusalem. By the way, who is building the New Jerusalem? You'll find the answer in John 14. Jesus Christ is building that building. It's going to be wonderful, marvelous. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a time of joy. As I listen to the news from time to time on the television, there's not much joy there. It looks terrible. But you know something? I know the person who is in control of it all. Jesus Christ is in control of everything. And by the way, his promises are still true and amen. We should never doubt the fact that Jesus Christ is a Jew and will always be a Jew, that he has the nail prints in his hand and in his feet, and they felt them, they saw them, they knew that he was raised from the dead. Thank God for that.
Amen.
We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen, living Savior.
Amen.
And he wants all of us to let other people know that we belong to Jesus. We wouldn't have it any other way. We are happy that we belong to him. And we have told this story in Central African Republic, in Cameroon, over and over again. When you start out with no churches and no believers, and then you see one by one come to know Christ. Today we have 70 churches in Cameroon. We have literally thousands of people who have trusted Christ.
Amen.
It's one of the greatest thrills you can ever have is to lead someone to Christ from the devil's darkness into Christ's marvelous light. And that's what we have seen. And we told the president and everybody else that was with him that we are going to spend eternity in the New Jerusalem, which is going to come on the earth, but it's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. The original earth was without sin, but we know what happened with Adam and Eve. By the way, that's Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And we should be thankful that we have the Word of God, which teaches us exactly how it should happen and what we should do and what we should not do.
Amen.
Unfortunately, we have a government that doesn't understand that. You might be surprised to hear that I'm praying for President Obama. I believe with all my heart that if he would accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he could come to know the joy and the peace that we have and will always have because we belong to him. And it could also change America if he would trust Christ. So we're praying for his salvation. But then as I read it a little bit further in the text, I read exactly what is going to happen. And my second point would be, when does the new Jerusalem descend to the earth? If you will study the book of Revelation, you will see that chapter 1 is introduction, chapters 2 and 3 is the church age, chapter 4 through 19 is tribulation, chapter 20 is the millennium, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and chapters 21 and 22 give us the final story of the New Jerusalem coming down to earth. How wonderful it's going to be. Beyond my comprehension, I can read it, and I still don't completely understand all that Jesus Christ is going to do. By the way, when you sang that song tonight, just over the hilltop, there's a mansion for me and for you. I don't know who chose the songs tonight, but boy, you sure got a good one. One day we're going to be there. We're going to see Jesus face to face.
Amen.
We're going to be able to kneel at his nail-pierced feet and thank him and praise him for what he did at Calvary.
Amen.
And remember this, there were three Jews on their crosses. Not one, three. O'Reilly is wrong. There are three that are there. One has been in hell for the last 2,000 years, and the other went to be with Jesus Christ because he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Yep. What wonderful words to a man. We don't know what he did, what was wrong, why he was being crucified, but he was being crucified. And instead of thinking of himself, he said this, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Do you notice he didn't say, remember me when I die? What was the hope of Israel in the Old Testament? It was the kingdom of the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he's still a Jew, and he will always be a Jew. Let's get it right according to the scriptures. But he is going to run the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And believe me, there will be no more sin, no more tears, no more death. It's beyond my comprehension to realize that in that day, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign perfectly, and we are going to be able to kneel at his feet and thank him and praise him and sing to him forever and ever. What a wonderful day that's going to be. We have a little bit of that in that song because it talked about the gold. We thank God for it. Then we saw over and over again how big it's going to be. Real quickly, I just want to say that it is approximately 10 times bigger than the city of London. The New Jerusalem is going to be so huge that we are going to be amazed at what Jesus Christ is doing. But remember, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have so much to thank the Lord for. Do we thank him enough? My answer is no, we don't. Sometimes it's difficult to thank the Lord when your wife does not completely understand, but she knows Jesus, and she's put her faith and trust in Jesus, and she brought young teenage girls to Christ in Africa over and over again, to the place where we adopted one lady. Her name is Sylviane Ella, and we adopted her when she was 17 years of age, and she is now respected by the president, by the director of medical affairs in Cameroon, and is being invited to go to Obala and to Yaoundé, and Obala and Yaoundé, and have operations. God is blessing her testimony. Every day at 10 o'clock, one of our teachers goes down to the medical clinic and everything stops while he gives a 15-minute message of Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We not only see the various aspects of the city exteriorly, but also internally. It is absolutely gorgeous, beyond comprehension. Could Jesus do anything or build anything that was not absolutely perfect and wonderful? And it's for you and me. He's doing it all for us. Earth was made for mankind. It will be burned by fire, and it will be reestablished in holiness. And we're going to have a part in it. Unbelievable, but true. We will be serving Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful time that will be when we serve him. Well, what is the conclusion to the whole matter? The conclusion is this. In order to enter into the New Jerusalem, there are some conditions. One of the conditions, you have to be willing to say, I am a sinner, lost, and on my way to hell. And the only way that I can be saved and can go to heaven is if I trust Jesus Christ and Him alone for my salvation. That thief on the cross looked up to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, today you will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful answer to that Jewish man on that cross. And that's the answer to everyone today. There's no other way. It's only through Jesus Christ, only through Him alone, can we be saved. Let's bow for a word of prayer.